Please, this morning to Mark 16, the gospel according to St. Mark, Mark, the 16th chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not everyone, and I thank God for this, but many of you in this room, including me, we have at some time in our life found our place in, ourselves in a really dark place. Yeah. That's where I actually had my greatest encounter with God, was in the darkest of places. And aren't you grateful you're not in that dark place anymore? Yes. Aren't you grateful you don't think like you used to think? You don't live how you used to live? You don't deal with what you used to deal with? But brothers and sisters, it's so very important that we never forget there are multitudes right here in our area who are in that dark place today. And as I said, I don't know if it was last Sunday or in a recent service, I had that thought really for the first time. Drunken, suicidal at a college frat party. Apparently, God didn't have anybody nearby that he could use to reach me. He had to come do it himself. And thank God he did. I said, thank God he did. But I let it never be said of us that we were at work, but God could not put us to work. Amen. That we were in town, but we were so insensitive or unfeeling that we were not available to the Father to say something to somebody. Amen. Amen. People are hurting. And we have the answer. And we have to be willing to share that answer. Amen. Amen. And to do that, to be effective, we need some things, right? One of the things we need is boldness. Amen. We need boldness. Amen. We will not be the witnesses that God wants us to be if we're not bold. Right. Amen. And thank God, boldness is something that the Word has a lot to say about. And boldness is something that God will minister to His people. That people who are not bold can get bold. Hallelujah. And so I want to minister to us today for a few minutes about boldness. And as I've prayed and meditated, the Lord would seem to, you know, I appreciate this about Him. He knows me. You know, the Father, He knows me. And He knows that I can get along preaching along and then forget the main thing He wanted me to get over to you to be ministered in this service. So I'm just going to tell you up front, don't you let me forget it. This service primarily is about impartation. Did I say something wrong? Yeah. Okay. You're laughing at me like I did, and I probably did. So anyway, I just want to correct it if I need to correct it. Praise God. So God wants to impart boldness to you this morning. Amen. Glory to God. Boldness is not about personality. I think a lot of people think that boldness, or the opposite of boldness, is a function of personality. And I think that there are some personalities that are more given to be what we think as bold. Amen. But boldness is a spiritual quality. It's a spiritual quality. Amen. That will function through any of the different wonderful personalities that God has created. Right. To be bold, you don't have to be different than who you are. Amen. In the core of who God made you to be. Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. In your personality. You're not going to change that. The fundamental building blocks of who you are, God made you that way. Yeah. Right? I'm talking about in your personality, in your makeup. Mm-hmm. Amen. You're not going to change that. But through you, you could be bold. Yeah. And we should be bold. Amen. In Mark chapter 16, we have here, of course, we saw this last week, very well-known passage of Scripture. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He has spent off and on about 40 days with His disciples in His resurrected state. He's about to, ascend to heaven and take His place where He is today at the Father's right hand. And He makes this declaration to the disciples and to the church at large, of which you and I are a part. And so in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "And He said unto them, Go ye." Amen. Yeah. And we know what God told us about, you know, the prophetic word for this church for 2024 is it'll be a year of coming and going. Amen. A year of coming and going. We're talking about this go part of that mission this year. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. King James says devils, it's really demons. There's one devil and many demons. Amen. Glory to God. You know, my spiritual father, Dr. Michael Jacobs, I haven't had that spiritual gift. It's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 called discerning of spirits. You know that gift is not called the gift of discernment. People call it that. It's not called the gift of discernment. There is no such gift in the Bible. The gift of discernment. There is a operation of discernment. It's called having the Holy Spirit in you and Him letting you know things. How many of you, you've had the Holy Spirit let you know something? Well, that's discernment, but it's not the gift of discerning of spirits. That word discerning of spirits means to see. God would have to give you the supernatural ability for a moment to see into the realm of the spirit, and you would see angels or demons or Jesus or a human spirit. But if you don't see anything, it's not that gift. It doesn't mean it's not supernatural. You're buying a car and the Holy Ghost is giving you alarms about that car. Well, you get around someone and you just know they're not right. They've got a wrong spirit about them. Well, that is supernatural. We're not discounting that. It is supernatural. But it's not the gift of discerning of spirits. Well, Dr. Jacobs, he's told it, and he'll be here in March. I'm sure he'll tell one of those stories. But he talks about having a word of knowledge about someone needing to be free from depression, the spirit of depression. There means that there's sometimes, you know, we all have feelings and emotions. And some of them are downer emotions. That doesn't mean you have a spirit of depression. But there is a spirit of depression. And so that a person would come forward and he would lay hands on them and say, come out, loose them, let them go. And sometimes, a few times, God has opened up his eyes and he would see this demonic bird-like creature. And you remember his story? And he'll say, it just flew right out of her chest and left the church building and flew right out the wall. And without saying anything, the gal would look up at him and go, something just left my chest. And she went like that. And he said, yeah, I saw it. It was a spirit of depression. It just left you. Well, praise God. Amen. That's, what are we talking about? Casting out devils. Amen. These are signs that aren't supposed to follow the fivefold. They're supposed to follow you. You. That means you are supposed not to go to the grocery store hunting them. We're not weird. But if a devil's going to show up, you ought to know how to deal with that. And it's not speed dial me in the middle of the night. You deal with it. You have the same authority, the same name, the same power, the same dominion. But you have to be bold. I said you have to be bold. Glory to God. And so it says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. For some of you, you need to be bold. You know, a bold person doesn't give a rip about what their Christian friends or family might think if they did the Bible and talked in tongues. It doesn't, you know, boldness doesn't have anything to do with being arrogant or proud or brash or rude or any of that. Amen. But you're unashamed. I said you're unashamed. Glory to God. What does it say next? It says, it'll take up serpents. They'll take up serpents. And that's, of course, symbolic language of demonic powers. If they drink any deadly thing, it's implied by accident. You do know that, right? It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It does not say they might recover if it's God's will. It is His will. He is telling you. Amen. Go back with me to the book of Luke. chapter 9. Well, I guess back. You have to go to the right. However you want to think about that. Praise God. And let's look at the first time Jesus sent anyone out to minister. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says, then he, Jesus, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. That word it's power. And then you see the word authority. Power and authority. In other words, he gave them the power to do it, and then he gave them the right to do it. Amen. Over how many devils? All demons. So, you know, you're not going to reach some high-level demon that you need my help with. I'm happy to help you. But you have authority over all demonic powers. And to what? To cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Skip down to verse 6. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, this year, and it should have always been happening, but you should go wherever you go after you leave here, and healing should be happening everywhere. Amen. Not some isolated. What happened to our brother back here, amen, in his leg, and still working in him, amen, that ought to be happening everywhere through everyone. The fivefold, God always intended the fivefold to be examples, not idols. The fivefold is a reference to Ephesians chapter 4, where Jesus gave five full-time ministry gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teachers. He gave them for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, that they might do. One translation says that they might do the work of the ministry. So really all we are coaches and trainers, amen, to help mature, teach, and train the body of Christ how to be the body of Christ. You're not supposed to just sit there and rah-rah while we do all the work of the ministry. Amen. Glory to God. Skip over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. It's just one chapter over, obviously. Now, after a while later, he sends not just 12, but he sends out another group, this time 70. And so in verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them, look at this, two and two or two by two. Let me say something to you. If you're going to go out with a purpose to witness and minister, don't go by yourself. Ladies, don't go by yourself. Guys, don't go by yourself. Amen? See, when the Lord sent me into that business last week, by the leading of the Spirit, I didn't know who the owner was, if it was going to be male or female. It was a female. I'm glad I had somebody with me. Don't go by yourself. Have somebody with you to be a blessing, to be a source of encouragement and accountability, and it's a safety for you. And Jesus was that smart, right? They didn't go out one by one. They went out two by two. Before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. And he gave him further instruction, but skip down to verse 9. And look at this. It says, and heal the sick. Notice that's just a categorical statement. Get yourself out there in teams of two, proclaim the good news of the kingdom, and heal the sick. Well, it must be his will. Why are we wrestling still in all these years? Why are we wrestling over the will of God and healing? I don't get it. If you just read the Bible, it's obvious. It's so obvious, God's will. Would Jesus, you think, I'm not even going to use the word. Jesus is not S-T-U-P-I-D. He is not. Would he tell them to go out there and, you know, and just tell them, heal the sick, and then, oh, wait. What if it's not my Father's will to heal that one? He didn't have to tell them that. He knew what he was doing. Amen. Glory to God. What Jesus needs is, what he's always needed, is people who will do it, who will believe it and go do it. Amen. And that requires boldness. Amen. Heal the sick. Praise God. Well, they went out and they did just that. And let's read about when they came back. Did they come back discouraged? Did they come back defeated? Did they come back beaten up? Did they encounter a devil that whipped them and left them naked and wounded? Well, we're going to find out. Luke chapter 10 and verse number, what am I looking for, guys? 19, 17? I've got a new Bible here. That's the problem. Okay, thank you. Verse 17, and the 70 returned again with what?
Joy.
See, when I went out, I told you I had feelings about going out, natural feelings. What's going to happen? If I tell somebody about Jesus, what's going to happen? They're going to throw me out of here. Well, they came back with joy.
Amen.
Not sad, with joy. Saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Don't be afraid of a fallen being. Amen. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. This verse means a lot to me when I'm about to go into villages that are full of idolatry and black magic and sorcerers and witch doctors. Amen. But I'm not nervous about that. I could, if the Lord leads me, I'd go in there and ruin their temple. Ruin it. Cast all the devils out of there. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Who knows what's going to happen? But I know this, and it comforts me, right? Nothing shall by any means hurt me. Right. Now, this doesn't mean that somebody might not say something that is meant to hurt your feelings. But if you're bold, you don't care about that. Amen. We've got to want to do what Jesus said more than we want to not ruffle feathers. Did you get that?
Yes.
Amen. God wants you and I to be bold. Amen. Go to the book of Acts with me. Keep turning to the right to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. I've just been laying a little foundation. Y'all all right?
Yes.
Now remember, this is about impartation.
That's right. Yeah.
Have your heart open. Would you like to receive from God? Yes. Amen. A greater measure of boldness.
Amen.
To be a witness. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, you'll be witnesses. Witnesses. Amen. Not defeated witnesses, not scared witnesses, not witnesses who are shy or ashamed. Amen. Glory to God. So in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 8, it says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. And so, you know, if you, the Great Commission, we could summarize what we read in Mark 16. He said, go. That's what he said. He said, go. Number two, he said, preach. That word preach just simply means publish it, tell it, proclaim it. Amen. The good news. Well, you know, one thing that's going to require is that you have some basic knowledge of the good news. Amen. It's so important that you come to church and get trained. Amen. If you're new to the faith, we have a 16-week online free YouTube Bible course that's on our website called Basic Training. They're about 25, 30 minutes long. And in there, I teach you from God's Word 16 basic lessons of what you're going to need to know and understand if you're going to be able to begin to live a victorious Christian life. Get on there. Go through them at your own pace. Amen. But come to church. Come to connect. Amen. But that he said, go. He said, preach. Then he said, minister. Minister, what did we see? We saw deliverance. We saw believers speaking in tongues. Amen. We saw that as they went out, that we have the promise of God's divine protection. No deadly thing will hurt you. You know, right? No deadly thing, if you consume it, will hurt you. You'll lay hands on the sick and it said they shall recover. Glory to God. Well, to do all that, we're going to have to be bold. You know, I like Proverbs 28:1. You could just make a reference to that. We're not turning there. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee even though no man's chasing them. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Other translations say bold like a lion. Well, the lion, he's not the biggest animal on the prairie in Africa, but he's not concerned. He walks around the plains of Africa, amen, unconcerned about his welfare. There is a walk about a lion. Even when they're just laying there, I'm like, I'm not going to mess with you. Right? There is, what is boldness? Boldness simply means confidence. If you really want a one-word definition of boldness, it is confidence. It is fearlessness. Fearlessness. What would you do for Jesus if you were fearless? Come on. How would you pray if you were not concerned whether or not Jesus will really heal or not? Will it work? Well, you're going to have to, you know, he said, go, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. If you do that in good faith and they don't recover, then come on, Jesus has got you. I want to talk to the headquarters. I said, I want to talk to headquarters. Amen. Listen, Jesus is not going to let you down. Amen. You find a devil, amen, and that person wants to be free. You don't have to wonder whether that thing's going to come out if you pray. But you better pray. Remember what Dr. Roberts said? He said his dad was asked to go in and pray for a girl's grandfather, a friend of the family that was dying. And he went in there. I don't know if he was tired or distracted, but he went in there and prayed a nice little gentle prayer over the man and then left the hospital. Well, I appreciate what he said about that granddaughter. Their granddaughter followed Oral Roberts into the hallway and said, Oral Roberts, you did not pray a tent prayer. In other words, you did not pray a fervent prayer, a real prayer. Get back in there and pray a tent prayer, a real prayer for my grandpa. You know, sometimes we pray, but we're just going through the motions. Well, he went in there. We heard the story during the special meeting. He went in there and climbed on the bed and prayed a good prayer, and the man was healed. Amen. I remember the story of... when I say spiritual father, I really reference two men, currently Dr. Michael Jacobs. But he's speaking into my life because the one God assigned me to, Dr. Ed Dufresne, went to heaven. You know, he graduated, went to heaven. And I wanted to submit myself to somebody. So that was Dr. Jacobs. Well, Dr. Jacobs was also a spiritual son for 20 years to Dr. Ed Dufresne. And so Dr. Jacobs had the occasion of going on multiple overseas trips to minister with Dr. Dufresne and Dr. Dufresne's crusades and ministry times. One time he got Dr. Jacobs up to minister to the sick. And so Dr. Jacobs got up in line and there was a, it was a, he had a word, it was the first time, Dr., let me get this right, forgive me for stumbling, Dr. Dufresne had by the Spirit ministered to Dr. Jacobs, said, now there's a new anointing coming into your ministry for bones. That was the first time. And so they called for anyone that had issues with bones. And he said it must have been, he said there was silver hair all over the auditorium. It was an older group. And they all came with canes and crutches and walkers and wheelchairs and they just lined up the front. And now Dr. Dufresne, he's training Dr. Jacob. He said, okay, now you're going to minister to him. You got that new anointing for bones. You minister to him. Well, they're standing there and Dr. Jacob starts saying, in the name, he gets down to about the fourth person and Dr. Dufresne goes, be bold about it. Right. You know, my son, he was much younger when Dr. Dufresne, you know, when we were in Dr. Dufresne's meetings and you just told me, he said, Dr. Dufresne used to scare you. Because he'd be preaching along and then all of a sudden he'd blow out the speakers, he'd raise his voice, he'd yell, you know, if you were asleep, you're going to have your bones rattle. Amen. And there were times, you know, Dr. Dufresne, he dedicated this building in 2012. I was standing right over here in my seat, and he hit me in the head. And I call it the, what do I call it? He about knocked me unconscious. People think I fell down under the power of God. No, I think he knocked me out. He hit me so hard. Did you get mad? Did you get offended? No, of course not. Prophet of God, man of God, hit me as hard as you want, as long as it's God. Amen. But he told doctor, be bold about it. And so he just reacted, in Jesus' name. And walkers, he said walkers. People got out of wheelchairs. People were throwing canes and crutches. People were healed. See, there is a flow of boldness that is necessary. We're not serving a God that is deserving of, we're going to try this, to pray with trepidation. We got to get over all of that. I said we got to get over all of that. Glory to God. The Word works. God's alive. Jesus is alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Ghost is in you. God's a man of His Word. Rise up, woman of God. Rise up, man of God. Go do what God told you to do. Let's have revival in Paducah. What do you say? Come on. Praise God. Praise God. But you got to be bold about it. Amen. Pastor Nancy said God told her, the bolder you'll be, the more you'll see. Right? We want to see more miracles. We got to stop. Well, Father, if it's your will, you know, maybe someday in 3 years you could get a change in this person's body. No. No. Those prayers don't work because they're not faith-filled prayers. Listen, the greatest victories we read about in the Bible, they came through people who had tremendous confidence in their God. David was just a little shepherd's boy, wasn't he? Right? But he ran at a 9-foot giant. He took that giant and he didn't say, well, if it's the Lord's will, he's going to give me victory. No, he said, today you come at me with sticks and stones, with sword and spear, but I come unto you in the name. In the name, right? And he said, today I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. And that's exactly what happened. I said, that's exactly what happened. Nebuchadnezzar said to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you don't bow, I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to strike up the band. If you don't bow your knee and worship my statue, I'm going to throw you into that furnace. And they said, we will not bow. We will not bow. We will not bow. Our God will surely deliver us. And he did. Come on. Jesus did not stand at Lazarus' tomb and say, Lord, if it be thy will. You're going to be bold. You've got to know what the will of God is. Right? You got to know what the will of God is. Praise God. How are you going to know what the will of God is? Get in the book. This is His will. Praise God. Amen. Well, we know Jesus said in Acts 1 that power will come upon you. We're not supposed to be witnesses with no power. We're supposed to be witnesses with power. And Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 tells us that the Holy Ghost came in and came upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, what I want to say to you in the next few minutes here is I want to talk about Peter for a minute. Peter was never the same after the Holy Spirit came upon him. You know, before, when it really came down, remember the night that Jesus was betrayed? And Jesus was telling those precious disciples what was about to happen to him. And Peter said, I'll be right there with you. If I have to die with you tonight, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to die. All these guys here, Jesus, they may leave you, but I won't. I'll be there with you all the way to death. He was bold about it. Right? But Jesus got arrested, and he's standing there at this campfire outside the courtyard, and some little girl says, you know Jesus. And he said, oh, no, I don't know who that guy is. He just threw Jesus under the bus. Where was his boldness then? Where was it? That was all just fluff and personality back then. That was just human pride back then. And he cowered. He cowered to fear. Let's not be too hard on him. They were under threat of death. They tortured Jesus that night. They crucified Jesus the next day. So let's not be too hard on Peter. But Peter cowered. He yielded to fear. He cussed Jesus to try to defend, you know, to try to get them to believe that he didn't know him. But now on this side of Pentecost, on this side of the resurrection, and now being filled with the Holy Ghost, come on, you got a different Peter. You've got a different Peter. You remember in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John were on their way to prayer? We heard about that. Reverend Roberts preached on that on Sunday morning. Amen. And they ministered to the beggar there, and he was instantly healed and raised up. Well, you know, the same Jewish leadership, the same high priest, the same Sanhedrin that arrested and betrayed and crucified Jesus, they didn't like that. So let's look in Acts chapter 4 and let's see what happened. In Acts, are y'all all right? In Acts chapter 4, glory to God. I believe even as you're sitting under the ministry of the word, boldness, boldness. Amen. But if you'll allow me, I'm going to lay hands on you. Amen. Boldness can get on you. You know, they say Lester Sumrall, he, as a young man, he wasn't near as bold as he was known to be before Smith Wigglesworth grabbed him up in his arms. Wigglesworth was in his 80s. Sumrall was in his 20s. He had to leave because of World War II in Britain. They were kicking out everybody that wasn't a national, you know, that wasn't a British person because the Nazis are coming across the English Channel. So he came in the last day, he said, Brother Smith, I've got to leave. An American, they're kicking me out. This will be the last time I get to see you. And Wigglesworth grabbed him up in his arms and with tears coming down the old man's face onto a young 22-year-old Lester Sumrall. He began to prophesy about the different waves of revival that would come. Amen. And then before it was over, he said, let everything I have come into this man. And if you know anything about Wigglesworth, he was bold. He was bold. I told you that little story to let you know Sumrall got something. Something was imparted to him. Amen. Pastor Nancy just had Pastor Craig Fields, who is bold, minister to the ministers at the Holy Ghost meetings. He laid hands on us. I believe it. I'm more bold. Amen. So anyway, we're here in Acts chapter 4, verse 1. So, and as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They didn't like it. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold, that means jail, unto the next day, for it was now evening tide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers, the elders, and the scribes, Ananias, these are all the same people that crucified Jesus. The same people Peter was terrified of just weeks before. Look at verse 7. And when they had set them, Peter and John, in the midst, they interrogated them. They asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Meaning the healing that occurred. Then Peter, look at this, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't have anything to do with that healing. I don't know who this Jesus is. Please let me go. No, that's not what he said. If we be today examined of a good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name, can you hear him? By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Look at this. You want to talk about bold? Yeah. Whom you crucified. Yeah. Come on now. I'm talking about a coward a few weeks ago. It's bold. It's bold. He didn't get this kind of change through counseling. What happened to him was he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what you need. Praise God. To get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Amen. Look at verse 13. Now when they saw the what? When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They recognized, these aren't trained people, but we recognize the same spirit that was on that Jesus. These guys have been with him. And if you'll spend enough time with Jesus, you'll be bold too. I said you'll be bold too. Praise God. If you'll do what Jesus said and not just get saved, but also get filled with the Holy Spirit and then stay full. Amen. Glory to God. Then you could be bold as well. Praise God that they had been with Jesus. Skip down to verse 18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you can judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's what you need to do. Just go out and speak what you've seen in the Word. And what you've seen God do in your life and in the lives of others. And go tell it. Amen. Go tell it. Praise God. Go tell what you've heard. Well, then they left there. And we won't read this, but it says they went right to their own company. See, friend, you need your own company. You need your own church family. You need your own spiritual family. Amen. Well, they went to their company and they began to pray. Remember that? And I won't read the whole prayer, but skip all the way down. Praise God. To the end of their prayer in verse 29. And it says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they might speak your word. Now notice, when they were under threat, when the disciples were under threat, they didn't call fire down from heaven on them. They didn't say, God, we want you to give them a plaguing disease. We want you to get them really good. That's not what they prayed. In the face of persecution and threat, this is what they prayed. Father, behold, look at what they're threatening to do to us. In response, here's our prayer. We ask that with all boldness, we as your servants might speak your word. What they wanted was God to give them greater confidence and security and boldness to keep speaking even in the face of the threat of persecution. Well, they must have been on fire for God. They must have just, God, give us what we need to keep speaking. To keep speaking. Amen. When we get reproached, when we get lied on, when we get persecuted, when we get rejected, what we want from you, we don't want that to go away. We don't care about that. We want you to give us more boldness. Amen. And here's how he said that. He said that we might speak your word with boldness. I like how the Amplified says it, with full freedom. To declare fearlessly. See, that's the kind of witness I want you to be this year. To be boldness means I speak freely. I speak with freedom the truth of the gospel to people who don't know it. Without fear. Without fear. Maybe it doesn't appear to you like you could get to that place, but I'm telling you, you can. The Lord told me that you can be bold even when you don't feel bold. You can be bold without feeling bold. But you've got to make yourself do what you don't feel like doing. Right? Amen. Just even starting simple at the gas station to the other one filling up with gas. Hey, brother, just want to let you know Jesus loves you. Some people just, you become a wet mess, you know, thinking about that. I mean, there goes your deodorant, just all over. Just the thought of saying Jesus loves you to somebody. Listen, I understand that. You want to know how I understand it? Because I understand it. I feel the same way in my flesh, in my mind. But you can still be bold. And the more you do it, the more you do it, the more you speak up, the bolder you'll be, the more you'll see God's going to meet you. That doesn't mean everyone you say is going to fall down on their knees and say, tell me how to be saved. Amen. But you'll feel less and less shy about it. I don't have time to go there. I'm out of time. I still want to minister to you. The Bible says, Paul told Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Now that word, fear is a good word. A better word, according to the Greek, is timidity. God has not given us the spirit of timidity. Well, I'm just more of an introvert. This is not about your personality. This is about the Great Commission, and you are not excused from the Great Commission because you're shy. Shyness is a form of fear. It's not a personality trait. And none of you have the right to be shy and be biblical. You know what a shy person is? A shy person wants to be part of a group, but that shyness won't let them. Shyness wants to speak up and engage in conversation and be a part, but the shyness won't let them. It's fear. Call it what it is. It's fear. People have mistakenly called my wife shy. She's not shy. She's just not mouthy like me. If nobody's around, I'm going to talk to the fence post. Me and the fence post, we're going to get acquainted. My wife doesn't need that. She's not moved by silence. Yeah, Miss Joy, she's... You got her, Brother John. But Brother John's kind of the opposite, probably. Maybe more of a man of fewer words. That makes a good match. She can do all the talking. He just... Yeah. Praise the Lord. But my wife's not shy. If she wants to say something, she will. Do you see the difference? But listen, don't you let yourself be shy. That's fear. That's timidity. Oh, I wish I had friends. You're shy. You're fearful. Stop that. God has not given you that spirit of shyness. God has not given you that spirit of timidity. He gives you the spirit of, I don't give a rip what you think about me. Jesus loves me. The Holy Ghost loves me. Amen. My Father loves me. Lots of people on the planet love me. If you don't love me, that's your loss. There you go. And I'm not going to let you go to hell because I'm shy. I'm not going to let you go to hell and not hear the gospel because I'm timid and I won't speak up. Be bold. I got a lot of the scriptures, but I'm closing right here. It says, behold their threatenings, Lord. Grant that with all boldness we might speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, look at this, when they had prayed, the place was shaken. The place was shaken. People get all whoa upset if the power of God comes on someone and they shake a little bit. Or even fall on the floor. You wait till the building shakes. Then people will really get excited. You wait till the building starts shaking in answer to our prayers. But God, what they were praying for was, God, give us boldness. Continue to confirm your word with signs and wonders and healings. And God answered, and he shook the building where they were. But that's not all he did. Look at what he did. And they were all, here it is again. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then what'd they do? They spoke the word of God with boldness. Do you see how those are connected together? Peter was not bold and courageous, amen, until he got filled with the Spirit. But he was done with fear after that. He had power. He had confidence. He had assurance. He had, his shadow was healing people. Amen. And as you live your week this week, walk tall. Paul said in Romans 1, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Get yourself on Faith, Sarah, Tony's websites, you know, and I don't have those slides up to show you how to get there, but get yourself a t-shirt. I'm a whosoever. I mean, just be bold. But don't be bold for Jesus and act like a heathen. Don't do that. Be a good witness. Be a good light. Amen. But be bold. Brother Brett, could you and Rex maybe move this pulpit? And as we get ready to leave this morning, I just...